I guess we're just going to start because it doesn't say we're there, but every time I do this, we have this at the beginning. So
We
here we
have
go.
I see it. I see it
Okay, good.
saying
Good afternoon, everybody. It is Angie Atkinson, and I am here with the lovely and talented Lise Colucci. Lise, welcome back. I'm so happy to have you again.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Good to see you too. Always my pleasure. So for those of you who are not new around here, I'll just quickly tell you that Dana says she'll be back in the second week of August. Now at that time, Lisa and I will be moving this stream to Fridays. But for now, let's just jump right in. Today, we're going to talk about Hoovering in all of its forms. And for those of you who are new, and for those of you who are not new, let me just let you know, we do this stream every Tuesday. Usually, this particular stream I do with Dana Morningstar, who's at Thrive After Abuse. But for the past several weeks, and for the next few weeks, Lisa and I will be doing the stream here. And again, we'll be moving to Fridays in the middle of August when Dana comes back. Now, if you would like to be notified when we do these streams, you can send a text that says Angie Live, all one word, and or Lise Live, all one word, LISELIVE, to 33222. And we will send you a text 5 minutes before we go live. Make sure you send your text to both of us, because that way you'll get a text whether we go live separately or together. Lise has a channel here on YouTube called Lise Colucci Narcissistic Abuse Recovery Support. Just put her name in the search and you'll find her. But if you're watching this on the replay, I will have the link for you in the description and the cards. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome. And thank you for being here. Thank you, Jack, and our admin mod squad and everyone else. All right. Now let's just jump right in. So do you want to start us off, Lise? What would you say Hoovering is?
Hoovering.
Definition. Yeah.
Quick
just a
version.
Brief.
Okay. It is when a narcissist, after a discard, or even after a prolonged devalue when they're giving you a ton of silent treatment, pulls you back into the relationship or back into engaging with them in any way.
Yes. Yes. And I'm going to add this really quickly. This is, as you may have already guessed and may already be aware, named after the famous vacuum cleaner company, because it's very much like they're sucking you back in. So really quickly, there are several different ways that we can Hoover, right? So we start us off. What are some of the most common Hoovers you've seen?
Let's start with what, if you don't mind, like what people normally think of as a Hoover.
Absolutely.
The love bombing, the I'm so sorry, I've changed, baby. That's what I said last week, people thought was funny. But really, you know, I've changed. I see the errors of my ways. I realize what I've done to you. Or just the total love bombing. But that's kind of just where it, that's just more like the positive end.
A lot of people think that, yeah, exactly, that it's about getting you back into the relationship or engaging if you've just, let me, I want to add something here. People don't think about the fact that you are discarded throughout the toxic relationship, even when it doesn't end.
Yep.
Right? So like Lisa was mentioning, sometimes you get the silent treatment or sometimes you get the, you know, whatever punishment. That can be a form of the discard. It doesn't have to mean the relationship ends. Okay. Go on, Lisa, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Right. No, it's good. It's like the feeling of I'm going to take my toys and go. If you felt like someone has ever said that to you, you've just had a mini discard because they, you know, they gather their belongings. They do anyway. So yeah, other kinds of Hoovers, they may do things that are not exactly positive to Hoover you. So accusations, say you have low contact with a narcissist because you have children with them. Instead of just saying, hey, what time should I pick up the kid, like a normal person, they give you an entire essay about everything you've ever done wrong. That's a Hoover, because what they're trying to do is engage you and get your supply. A Hoover is anything that gives them supply after the relationship has ended. Or,
yes. There it is. Yeah, and that's what it's about, isn't it? It's about supply, narcissistic supply. Let's define that really quickly. Yep. How would you define narcissistic supply?
Me, supply is them taking your attention for their own gain. It is, are you muted on purpose?
Yes, I did that on purpose.
Good.
I was trying to
change
my
mind.
No,
it's okay. I'm like, because I see you talking.
yeah, you're good.
You. Okay, good.
You're good.
Yeah, it is, what are we talking about? What is supply? Supply is the attention that they get from us. We call it supply because it's not reciprocal attention. It's one-sided attention flowing toward the narcissist rather than a relationship where both people bounce the attention back and forth. So
that's right. That's right. And this is the thing. So narcissists use the Hoover maneuver to get supply. However, as we just are sort of leading up to, the Hoover is not always a good thing. It's never a good thing, let's be honest. But because when they do Hoover you back in a positive way or the love bombing way, that just means they're going to be nice until they're tired of being nice or until the next justifiable reason happens. And in my case, that was almost always within a few hours at best.
Exactly.
But, you know, might get a few good hours out of a Hoover. Maybe a few good days if you're really, really lucky. But they're always going to go back to who they are. That's just the nature of most humans, but also the narcissist, unlike most people here and most people who end up with a narcissist, they don't like personal change at all. They don't see any purpose for it because the truth is, even if they say otherwise, they don't really think anything's wrong with their behavior.
Right. So, they're not giving you all these kind, nice, love bombing words because they've made change. They're doing it because they know it gets you back.
Exactly. And that's right.
Manipulating.
That's right. That's right. So on that same, you know, note, here is the other side of Hoovering, right? Because the other side of Hoovering is drama and attacks and just outrageous BS. So for one example, I had a client who had this guy was probably a psychopath. He was insane and horrible, like physical abuse, sexual abuse, etc. Okay. And really bad stuff. And so she finally got away and I had her on her way out the door to go to a trip in a different state across the country to get away from him and sort of clear her head and whatever. And then he showed up as she was on her way out the door. And do you know what he did? He brought her his dog, but that had sort of become their dog, and said his dog was sick and she needed to help him.
Oh yeah.
Now I think that did poison the dog in order to make him appear the way he did. Mm-hmm. In order to get her back. And he got her back for 3 or 4 more months and continued to abuse her during that time. So that was a Hoover, y'all. And it wasn't anything about, I love you, I want you back. It was about, you know, hey, I have drama and poor puppy, you know, he appealed to her heartstrings. That was one version of a Hoover. Yep. What are some others you've seen?
Oh, I've seen things like, again, back to co-parenting. You see it a lot because you have to maintain low contact. So you see it a lot in those situations because... Yeah. So things like drama about the children that isn't necessary just to create drama and then accusations and then some sort of, here's my favorite Hoover of all is the combo Hoover. So they will give you all this love bombing and then twist it around to, but I'm not actually going to change. And so as long as you accept me as I am, I'll be there for you the way you need.
Oh, that's always a good one. Yes. And then sometimes they throw in, you know, but I need you to do these things for me too.
Exactly.
But still they're really saying I'm never going
to
change.
Right. And the things they're usually saying I need you to do for me are the projecting things that they actually need to change.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Like,
hey, honey, I'll tolerate you. If there were a translation, I'll tolerate you back in my life as long as you continue to give me all the narcissistic supply I need and allow me to abuse you. Okay.
Exactly.
That's what they're saying.
And I'm gonna cheat, right?
That's yeah. it. They're uh-huh. like, you know, just because I have other people that I have intimate relations with, that doesn't mean I don't love you. You know that. Why are you so insecure?
I just saw one recently. I'd heard in person rather, saying that the narcissist discarded, terrible ending, the typical stuff. They finally get over it, and then they get this Hoover that is. The narcissist has new supply, then they're in an open relationship and they want to reignite with the ex.
I mean,
but the reason that they broke up was because the person was cheating. So they're going, wait, you want me to be the side chick? Like,
yeah. Isn't that insane? I know somebody right now who is in that same situation. Mm. They left the person, the narcissist left the person for another person. And then is now cheating on the other person with the ex. And this is a pattern with this person. It's, I can't. Let's move on.
Yeah, Hoovers, aren't they fun? And here's the thing, it's so believable. It's so convincing. They know exactly which buttons to push because most of the time they've known you long enough to know where your buttons are. You know, they know how to get you back. They know exactly what they're doing. And it's very difficult for a lot of people to resist because often they'll pull on your empathy, like the dog story, or I have a sick kid, or they know you love their parents, then suddenly something's going on with their parents and they have to write and tell you. And instead of logical thinking, what happens is the trauma bond reignites. The trauma bond is like, comes up for you, and you're triggered into the feelings you used to have for the person. So instead of using logic and being like, oh, your parents are sick, bye, click. Hello, parents, are you guys doing okay? Okay, right. Great. Or writing a card, if everything, you know, here's a gift certificate to dinner, blah, whatever, something nice, just to the parents, which may or may not be a good idea, depending on, you know, but sometimes it is. No, we have to go back to the narc, it's always back, it loops it back to the toxic person because of the trauma bonds that were there are re-triggered, and you are, your brain goes straight back to those old neural pathways, and there you are.
Yeah. And the thing is that the horrible part of all of this is that as much as we want to sit here and pretend we're all so tough and we don't want them back, very often survivors really do want them back. Mm-hmm. And not because they are awesome and amazing, but because trauma bonding and because they are comfortable. Look, I've talked about this video that I did a video about this once. Nobody liked it, but it's true. Because the fact of the matter is that none of us wants to say out loud, you know, that at some point we wanted them back or we still want them back. You know, nobody wants to say that. But the fact is that I bet you that 80 or 90% of those who were discarded, not the ones who did the discard themselves per se, but those who were discarded, at least for a period of time, would like to have that person back. And now that hopefully changes as they educate themselves and they get better and healthier and whatever. But the feeling of being alone sometimes is so scary to someone who has grown up. And not that all of us grew up with toxic parents, but many of us did. And we obviously have become codependent if we weren't already, once we're in a long-term toxic relationship with a narcissist. Once we've gotten to the point of developing a trauma bond, there's definitely codependency there. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's like an addiction. And so even though we know logically it's a bad idea to go back, a lot of us will go back if we are given the opportunity. I've had so many people say to me, why aren't they hoovering yet? Mm. And I feel bad when I hear that. And let's talk about that really quickly, shall we? Why haven't they hoovered yet? Well, a couple things. Number one, they haven't hoovered yet because they're not there. They're not ready. They're with a new supply still, or they're focusing on some other thing that they weren't allowed to do or were hiding from you while they were in the relationship. So they're doing that for now. And it'll be later when they come back. Or, you know, the thing is, maybe you were a secondary supply. Maybe you were one of those people who, you know, you didn't know, but they were primary supply with someone else. They were married or they were in a long-term with someone else. And you were just one of the many they're going to hurt along the way. Or in some cases, they'll be back eventually. I've seen people come back 20 years later. It's ridiculous, but I've literally seen 20 years later where a narcissist
is gone 20 for 20 years later. 2025.
You did? See?
And it so was, talk about I didn't think, well, I didn't think it was a hoover. It was an apology. Will you forgive me? Blah, 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 blah. But then it turned into
something else.
asking for more. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude. The only reason I even kept talking to you was just to see how far you'd go with this. I actually, you know, from where I sit, I wouldn't suggest that. I'm in a little bit different position because I deal with this every day with people, with other people. So it was actually info seeking and a little bit of journalism rather than my own. I had no, like, it was nothing. It wasn't even, it wasn't even flattering. It was like, oh my gosh, it's real. And let's just see what happens. And
there it is.
And I'm like, dude, you're married.
I mean,
you got, you know, little kids, you know.
And that's how you know. Because people who are not toxic would never do that.
No. I mean, no.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Yeah. Sometimes it'll come in the form of an amends. They're in some program like AA or NA or whatever. It's just an amends. No.
No. No, I haven't asked, what is it that you want forgiveness for? I can't live with myself. And I said, that's my problem.
Right. No, it's not.
and then it was like, but something like, I shouldn't have treated you that way, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, does it help you not treat your wife that way, knowing you treated me that way?
Nice. And the response?
Got silence. And then maybe. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. It was
That's interesting. Like, so you see.
You see, it's not real. It's what they want for themselves. That's the thing. Exactly. Always. Exactly. And yes, yeah. We all want for ourselves. We all want to manipulate situations to make them smooth and make them go the way we want them to go.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't all use toxic manipulation in order to force other people to feel things for us in order to get our way, you know?
Yeah. Something weird just happened. I
know.
Just
I'm like, you've got some. It looks like you're looking at me funny because of the.
No, oh, it sure does. That's hilarious. No, there was a dude standing outside my window, like,
what's that?
Staring at it.
You all right?
I think it's because I have the word. I have letters that spell the word love, like, in the window, and so they're backwards. To people, like, outside.
Evol? What is that?
He was like. He was walking a dog. Anyway, moving on.
That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So
the Hoovers. Yeah.
The Hoovers. So that's the thing, though, is that what I think is really, and then sometimes it comes in the form of an attack, right? So sometimes they come after you and they go, you ruined my life, after you've been separated for a month or the next day or whatever. Mm-hmm. They come at you for drama, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there
especially
are so many.
If you have like a borderline with. A borderline personality, narcissistic personality combo. Mm. Oh, especially like in the female narcissist.
Yes.
Oh, the attacks.
Yes. Vicious. Oh, yes. That, and speaking of the female narcissist, if it's a romantic relationship, and this happens with the male narcissist too, let's be honest. Some narcissists, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Yeah, no, I was agreeing with you.
Okay. I was going to say some narcissists are especially skilled in certain areas, you know,
mm-hmm.
or they hold some power over you in certain areas. And we're talking about intimacy here. Okay. And so some narcissists will use intimacy as a way to mm-hmm. draw you right back in. And it works in all types of relationships that are intimate in that way, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't have to be the woman to the man or the man. It can be any combination, or the woman to the woman, or the man to the man, whatever it is that y'all are doing.
Right. It doesn't, it's yeah.
Right. Right. Okay. Any other thing you want to bring up before we jump into our chat? I
can't think of anything off the top of my head.
We'll let you know if we come to one then. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's just jump in here. We have Trish Meyerly. Hello, Trish. Hi, Crystal Mountain, by the way. Trish says, I just ended a toxic relationship. I'm with a super seemingly sweet man, but definitely a narcissist and broke. He's going to be hard to stay away from. The Hoovering is strong. Okay, I'm just going to really quickly tell you how to end this. Assuming that we're not talking about someone you have children with, go no contact, cut them off, block them, don't allow them to contact you. You know what I mean? Block them on your phone, your Facebook, your Instagram, your TikTok, all the things, whatever you're on, block them. And then you're going to have to focus and remember the fact that it's an addiction. And so treat it like an addiction. Like if you were addicted to alcohol, you would certainly not take a sip, right? So you were addicted to this person. You are addicted to this person. So you don't give him a second of your physical attention or you know, auditory or visual attention. And I know it's hard to do that, but you can't stalk them on Facebook or any of the socials. You can't text with them. You can't talk to them. You have to keep them like out of your life. It's just like a drug. Please, thoughts for Trish?
Covert narcissism, and especially the communal type of covert narcissist, or the nice guy, nice girl, whatever, the sweet, seemingly sweet, that's all manipulation. So if you think that what you were seeing was their sweet side or their not sweet side when the narcissistic behaviors showed up, it was all narcissism. Even the good, sweet stuff was manipulating you so that you would be groomed to believe that's who they are. That's what they are. And then when the mask comes off and they're being awful to you and you see who they really are, they can flip it back and give you a little bit of sweet to remind you of who they are. So in my opinion, the love bombing, the sweet, all of that stuff is the most toxic part of the whole situation because it is what grooms you. So
yeah.
100%. Remember that. Remember, use your logic too when you're feeling so much feels. You gotta rely on your mind to see 100%. What it is. Look, forecast into your future. Do you really want that in 5 years to continue?
Right. That's very good. No. Good point. Yeah. And I want to just like jump on what you just said and add this other part, and is that for me, being able to label the behaviors, go, okay, that's gaslighting. Okay, that's hoovering. Okay, that's, you know, whatever they were, always empowered me in getting away from these people. Mm-hmm. And continues to empower me in staying away. So
right.
Let me throw it out there.
And yes. Not taking it personal when it comes in forms from other people in life, you know.
Exactly.
Gaslighting. Okay.
Add to it. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, it's true. Like knowing and naming it to yourself, not to the person. A lot of Absolutely. People want to call it out to the person. It doesn't do any good. So
yes.
Actually, if you call, here's the thing, and this is off topic, but important. If you
Valid. Tell yeah.
what they are, all you're doing is empowering them with words to use on someone else.
Hello. That's right. And also yeah. they'll Google it and then they'll come back and say, you did all those things.
So. You did all those things. They'll either project mm-hmm. it onto you, or then later when they move on to someone new or other people in their life, because mm-hmm. remember, they're not just a narcissist to their partner. They're a narcissist to everyone.
Yep.
So they'll use it and hurt people with that information. So
that's right. That's right. And what I want to clarify about what I was adding about the labeling things, for me, it was about taking emotion out of it. Mm-hmm. It was about standing back from my emotion just a little bit to focus on it. Like I always say, look at it like a scientist, mm-hmm. right? Because if I could see it from a scientific perspective, as in not logical, I mean, logical, not emotional. That helped tremendously mm-hmm. in healing, for sure.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. We have one from Curb Appeal who says, my ex has been pushing it hard this past week. My business had succeeded tremendously right after she left. And now she wants to come back, of course. my videos helped a lot when going through all of this. Not surprising. When they think they smell money or success or power or... you know, they're going to try to jump on and get some of that. Sure. I'm really glad that you are aware that this is what this is. And I would say, stay strong. I have a whole bunch of videos on this. So does Lise. And also, of course, we're doing these streams and I'm over on TikTok as well. Lise, are you on TikTok yet?
I am, but I haven't posted anything. Because
okay. She's getting there. She's getting there. It's a change in
the world over there. I don't know.
It really, really is. Yeah. Sometimes it's fun though. I got okay. Sometimes it's fun. She'll get there if she wants to. Okay. YouTube people don't care about TikTok. They're fine. All right. It's a different sort of we'll go for another.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Hello, Peggy. Hang on, I'm gonna scroll on down to our next comment. Why in the world? Okay, here we go. Love the mom. Thank you for the reminders being in there. Wait, I just saw something from Lori Ray. What was it? Well, there it goes. Oh, glad to see us. Okay. Hello, Hello, Karina. Hello, Natalie. I'm getting there. Hold on. I used live chat this time, so I didn't miss anything. And now I see all the things instead of top chat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to make sure I don't miss anything, but then I don't. Yeah. Hi, Jacqueline and Peggy. Okay, moving on. Here we go. Okay. Steve, Yellow Girl, Bonnie, hey, Bonnie on the mods. But Trish says, I always seem to end up in narcissistic relationships. I end one, I do the work, I meet one, I see the patterns. This one only lasted 4 months, 3 days, and six. Oh, 4 months, 3 weeks, and 6 days, 2 months. Well, Trish, you know what? I think that's a step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. It is very difficult to completely, I would say it's very difficult to heal yourself. It's difficult to detect a narcissist if you're not looking for a narcissist, but at the same time, it's hard to try to date people and always be looking for narcissists. It's like a catch 22, right? So you have to kind of, I'm going to let Lise take this one because I think Lise has a little more recent experience in this area.
Oh my goodness. So I am going to have the therapist I work with write out for me what I did. Because you know, when you do something, you don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. She said, you handled that. Like, she goes, that was amazing watching that entire, like it was a year and a half of like, watching the scene, paying attention to people, not getting invested, like mm-hmm. completely not getting invested until it was time to trust. And then baby stepping into that. I think 4 months is actually a good sign, because what it means, and 3 days and 2 hours or whatever, right? Because it means that you're open to experiences in your life. So you're not so traumatized still that you're not open to trying new experiences. Not that you have to, no one has to date again. But if you choose that as an experience to have, you're open to it. It means you're willing to step away from something when you see the red flags over and over and over again. Everyone's going to have a red flag. That's the problem. Every single person in this, I got them, you got them, we all got them. We've got red flags now and then. But the thing is, how do we handle those things when we're called on them? So it's a whole process of literally ungrooming, getting to know that grooming happens, take that away and look at the actual person. And it does take about 4 months. It takes minimally 4 months. And from what I've been told, and you guys are going to hate this, 18 months for a psychopath to be able to see it.
I think that's probably completely that's about true.
The like when the mask, if you look at people's posts and stuff on things and they say, well, it was 2 years before the mask fell off. Most of the time they're dealing with a very covert and sometimes psychopathic person. So that's not to be scary and say, don't try, you know, it's to say that it's not that you're a magnet. It's that you're trying, you're out there trying, and you are experiencing things and you're catching it and you're leaving in a short enough amount of time to not be so invested that your lives are enmeshed.
Which in a way kind of proves that you are healing, Lori, that you have, or Trish, that you have healed. Yeah, because here's the thing. A lot of times, you know, when we say, am I a narc magnet or whatever? Yeah, you're making a valid point. What I like to tell people is that everybody gets approached by these people some level, but people who maybe grew up with parents who supported them properly and validated them and all that, they don't feel like they need people who are healthier emotionally than I have been in the past, and then probably all of us have been. They don't tolerate stuff like that. They know it's okay to set boundaries, and they know they're allowed to say no thank you and walk away. That's why some people get stuck with them and some don't. It's not that I think many people get approached by people who are wrong for them or people who are toxic. And whether they are on the psychopath end of the spectrum or they just have narcissistic tendencies, which we all do. Everybody's a narcissist, but not everybody's a toxic malignant narcissist. See? And I think personally, you tell me your thoughts too, Lise. I think personally the tipping point here is empathy or lack thereof. And I'm not talking about cognitive empathy where they can logically understand.
Oh, true empathy.
Right? It's compassionate emotional.
And accountability. That's the other piece.
Yes, valid. Very good point.
True accountability, not just saying, yeah, I know I did that.
Sorry about that.
No, it's I know I did that. What should I do to change it? Oh my gosh, I got to work on myself. Okay. And taking interest. The thing about accountability is you take interest in the thing you did without shaming, blaming, or criticizing yourself, and just work to change it. Or don't admit that you can't, you know what I mean? Then that's, to me, that's the accountability they lack, because the second
they're sure.
Yeah. So it does sound like that does to me sound like a step in the healing direction that it was that amount of time and that.
And you were seeing the patterns and then you pulled away when it, really.
And we have to test it sometimes, especially as we get back into dating, we don't have to, but often people feel they're testing the waters and they are, letting people in that are familiar enough, and then they go, oh shoot, there it is again.
Yeah.
And so how do you learn if you don't make those little stumblings?
That's right. All right. We have Hufflemom saying, I've noticed that after someone breaks up with them, sometimes the narcissist will intentionally be a jerk just to make the ex mad. Is that hoovering? Yes, girl. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. That's
your
exactly.
Your campaign is a form of hoover.
Absolutely. Yeah. Believe it or not, it can be. Now sometimes it's just about getting new supply, but certainly, especially if they make sure it gets back to you.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's a hoover.
It's absolutely. It's a convenient smear campaign is this convenient double thing where it gets other people on their side. So they maintain the communal supply. And then at the same time, it gets your attention, which is a hoover, whether they want you back or not.
Yep. Absolutely. 100%. Yep. Okay. Melissa says, hey, Melissa. She says, this type of hoovering happens every time we do the exchange for parenting time.
Exhausting.
So it is exhausting. So Melissa, what I would do if I were you is I would just think of this person like a cranky customer. If you've ever worked in customer service, I have in the past. And if you have somebody who's a cranky customer, what do? You tolerate them. You're polite to them. I understand how you feel, and I'm going to do my best to help you, sir, but you don't have to go that far with this one. You just be polite and you act businesslike. When they try the Hoover thing, you great rock, you know, and you, oh, here's the child. And if they go, what are you doing tonight? You know, well, here's the child. I'll pick him up at this time, whatever. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You stick to the business and you be vague on it, anything else. What are you doing tonight? Oh, I'm just going to, you know, I've got some things to do. Or you don't even have to tell them anything. It's not their business what you're doing tonight. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or whatever the Hoover happens to be. Thoughts, Lise?
If it's something like a negative thing going on where you go to pick up the child and they say, late again, blah, 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 something's wrong with you. You know, like if they start being accusatory mm-hmm. about other things and why do you do this? What is the child's schedule? Why won't you tell me things? What's happening? You know, and they start accusing you and they make it mm-hmm. seem like it's about the child or they accuse you of other things. You just say, okay, got to go. And here's the child. And you know, it literally the same thing. In other words, don't engage ever.
Right.
Just don't.
And you can always do that. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, go. Yeah.
You can always do that. Oh, that's very interesting. It's interesting that you say that.
Yeah. Or yeah, I've heard you before. I've heard that you feel that way. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, you are required to tell them things about the business of raising the child. That's it. Anything else you know what I mean? You don't owe them any explanation about your life,
anything,
your relationships outside of them, anything at all, unless it relates directly to the child.
If they're guilting you about the child, you don't even owe them anything about that, unless it is like literally something that they are legally allowed to know.
The business, right? Business. So that includes school, doctor stuff, you know, depending on the age of the child, you know, allergies, food things, things like that. But mm-hmm. what else? I mean, business, not emotional.
Business, you know? And then minimal on the business.
So, yeah, whatever you're required by law to tell them. Mm-hmm. And you can also, you know, say, I'll communicate that in our court-approved app as we agreed.
Or, right.
You know, I'll send you that information by email or whatever. If it's some, because you don't need to stand there and have a whole conversation with that person. Mm-hmm. You left them or they love you or whatever. You're not with them for a reason. So just remember that too. And Melissa, if you feel overwhelmed by it, if there's someone you trust who can come with you.
That's what I was going to think, yeah.
That would not be a bad idea. Yeah, you were gonna. Okay.
Yeah, I was gonna say, find another way to exchange.
Okay. Yeah. So, Mystique, hello and thank you for being here. Mrs. Rios says, "I'm trying to say this in the least hoovering way possible, but I'm not a narcissist." Okay. Right. You know what I would have said to that? That's very interesting. Thank you. I heard right. that you feel that way, like we said.
Like, okay.
Yeah. Did you, I'm very interested in knowing how you responded to that and any more that you care to share with me about the story, Mrs. Rios. Anything for outside of that?
That's funny. Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. funny. Yeah. Yellow Girl says, my ex moved to another state and still stalks. And this is not uncommon.
Oh, yeah. Stalking.
Mm. Yeah. Now, I'll say this and then I'm going to ask Lise to jump in here. We have a stalker safety kit over at greenbean.com. So just go to greenbean.com/stalker, S-T-A-L-K-E-R. Lise, thoughts for Yellow Girl and the stalker?
Just you're not alone. This is not a thing that happens only occasionally. It's it's so hard when you're working with people who have this going on because there's only so much we can do. So knowing that the things you do have control of, focus on those. Mm-hmm. Keeping the safety up that you need to keep up and then living your life.
Yeah.
It's, yep. Yeah.
It's, I mean, it's difficult, but
it is,
you know, I agree. I think if you can stand it, you know, maybe cameras on the outside of your house,
mm-hmm.
The Ring doorbell, for example, or something like that. And, you know, getting to know maybe your neighbors mm-hmm. a little bit if you haven't yet and saying, you know, hey, if you happen to see this person or a car like this or anyone, you know, please call the police or whatever. Get a restraining order if you need to. I mean, If keep the I assume
documentation,
that,
right? Keeping documentation of it.
Yes, absolutely. And I assume that this person might be stalking via social media based on the fact that they're at a different state at this point. And in which case you could lock your stuff down pretty hard if you need to. I mean, I have certain people in my family locked down, and I'm talking about people who I am the parent of, to the point that you can't find them on search by their names or their emails or anything. So that's something that you can also do if you need to. And in fact, they have it set up to where, well, now they probably have changed it because they're older, but originally I have it set up, I had it set up for them to where people couldn't even request their friendship. They had to do the requesting. So things to consider. Any other thoughts for Yellow Girl? Okay. All right. Oh, here's a good one from Peggy. This is another type of Hoover. I'm dying and sick.
Oh yeah.
Another one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've seen that. And I've seen more than one person miserably end up in a situation, end up miserable again, I guess I should say, because they felt bad and they went back. This could be a parent narcissist. This could be a spouse or friend or anything. And suddenly you will be responsible for their everything. And sometimes they lie about this as well. Yeah. Look, I've had a miraculous recovery because you're back, but if you leave again, I might die. Literally, I've seen that. Mm-hmm. Have you? Yeah.
I've heard of it. Yeah. But I have more seen where it's an actual event or an actual thing.
Of course.
And it's like, why are you responsible for that for them?
Exactly.
Because I said I'd always be there for them, because they know I would be there for them, because they're playing on your empathy. They know you're highly empathic and they know you're a giver.
And they built that into you. They built into that sense of obligation.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And also let's talk about this from Roxana. She says, sometimes their parents are their flying monkeys. Oh yes. Oh yes, they are sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. I got lucky with my ex in that his biological mother passed away. And so his father had been remarried about a year before I met him. And his stepmother was not a fan of his. I have no idea why. but she and I got along great. And so when I finally left him, she was like my biggest supporter. It was pretty amazing. So I got very lucky in that way. Not everybody does. No. But she like would literally come to my house and babysit while I went to a class that she paid for me to take. That was just something I wanted to do for fun. You know, it was really cool. She was a really great lady. Anyway, but not everybody has it like that. And so, yes, they can be the worst flying monkeys, right? Because they love that person because it's their own child. And probably they installed the narcissism button in them in the first place. Thoughts on that, Lise?
Well, yeah. And also that flying monkeys are another form of hoovering.
Yes.
Ugh.
Speak on it, baby.
It's hoovering by proxy.
Mm-hmm.
Sending someone to do their bidding, bringing the information back to them. What does that make you think of? If Sally comes and talks to you and you know Sally's friends with your narcissist, who are you going to think about after? You're going to think about the narcissist.
Of course.
And so and they know it. So yeah. they send the most appealing people in,
mm-hmm.
knowing that it'll force you to think about them.
Yeah. And they'll be like, oh, you know, Joe's not doing that good. I think you should check in on him
or even if they don't mention it, even if they don't mention the person but they're fishing for information from you, bringing it back to the narcissist that then they can use.
Yes.
Somehow. Or
sometimes that'll look like, how you doing? Don't fall for it, people.
Don't fall for And if it happens and you give information to a flying monkey, just don't get mad at yourself. Just move on. Keep going.
Best thing you can do. Yep. Let's see. Yellow Girl says she's an empath, runs into many narcissists and still in shock as to how someone can have no emotions. I want to clarify that, y'all, because it's not that psychopaths don't have emotions. Mm-hmm. Sociopaths usually not so much, but you know, narcissists, they have emotions.
Well, yeah.
They just don't care about your emotions. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. They feel very strongly about their emotions.
Mm-hmm.
but their ability to perceive and care about your emotions it's minimal at best. And they certainly don't care. They might know logically, okay, I see that there are tears falling out of your eyes, so you must have sadness going on, but I don't really care that you're sad. So will you stop crying, please? That's really annoying to me, right?
Right. Or they care enough to, they care in the sense that it gives them a little sadistic pleasure if they're more like a malignant mm-hmm. narcissist. Oh, yeah. That worked to make you cry, mm-hmm. you know, and they enjoy it. So
yeah.
They have emotions. What? Their emotions are just, like you said, they're based on their own ego without any empathy for anyone else.
That's right. And on that same note, I've actually personally experienced one who would get angry at me for being upset with them mm-hmm. because that oh, made yeah. them feel bad.
Mm-hmm. That's how could worst. You make me feel bad? Yeah.
How dare you? Know,
how dare like, you point out the you, thing that I just did that was awful that makes me now feel bad about it?
Hello. Exactly. Like, you know, here's an example. Oh. Let me use an example that's just really blatant. Okay. They drop a spaghetti sauce on your foot and your toe breaks and it hurts. This happened to me. It's horrible. A whole jar of spaghetti sauce on your foot.
Ooh,
oh yeah, my God. It was the worst thing. It was almost worse than having a baby. Okay. But, and it hurt for a long time. And I cried and cried and cried. And do you know, can I tell you, this person was so offended that I was hurt and crying because they were the one that dropped it on my
yep.
toe.
Mm-hmm.
That happened. You know, I feel bad enough already. Why do you got to keep crying?
Yep.
Dude, it hurts. Yeah. Like, I wasn't angry. I was just hurt. I was hurt. But that was like me somehow hurting them. It's just ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. I'm only laughing because it's
hilarious and funny, but stupid.
And it's a playbook. They all play by.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
It's absurd. Right. Yeah.
Yes. It's ridiculous. Yes. All right. Let's see here. Sorry. Okay. I don't know what's going on. Okay. Let's see. Janine, what is, LR. Okay. Janine says, even in long distance relationships. Yeah. Same.
Oh, yeah.
Thing. And they'll hoover through social or phone or email or whatever. Or sometimes they'll haul off and show up.
I was just thinking that suddenly they're at your door. What? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true. It happens there too. And as always, I would say, block them. Don't let them, you know, if they do show up at your door, don't open the door if you can avoid it. And if you happen to accidentally open the door, close the door. And, you know, please leave. And if they don't leave, you know, call the cops. They're not, don't be afraid of that. I mean, yeah. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's reminding me of another related thing where sometimes they will call you up and say, oh, I have that one thing that I left at your house. Can I come get it? And I had heard of one recently. It was a broken flower pot.
What?
A broken flower. They said, what do you mean the flower pot? You know, the one in the backyard, I want to come get it. Or I want you to deliver it. Can you bring it to me? You mean the one with the crack in it that we were going to throw away? Well, you want that? Yes, I want that. That's mine.
Mm-hmm. Because they wanted.
Because they wanted a Hoover. I'm like, that is the most obvious Hoover. Come on. Yeah. Don't return the pot. That's gone. Bye. Click. You know.
I threw it away. Sorry.
Throw it away.
Getting rid of all the junk around here. Okay. Including you. Okay. Moving on. Not you. No. Okay. Okay. Oh, here's one. Okay. Oh my gosh. Wow, Robin. Wait till you hear this one, Lise. Get ready. I hope you're sitting down. You are. Here we go. Robin says, I received a package today with 19 handwritten long love letters penned over the period of time since I've blocked and gone no contact. That is like icing on it. That is just the quintessential Hoover. I mean, it's one of the many. That's outrageous. I'm so sorry. I know that must have been very difficult for you. I hope that you saw the ridiculousness in it. And yeah, thoughts for Robin? I guess I'm interested in knowing how you feel.
I want to know if she read them, but
I want to
know. At the same time, I'd get rid of those things.
Oh, yeah, I'd burn them, baby.
Throw them
back the ashes. Just
throw them in the trash, whatever you need to do. Shred them. Doesn't matter.
Float them down the river, hang them on balloons and send them around the world, whatever.
Bye. Yeah.
I would suggest
anything else that comes from that person, just don't open the box and just put return to sender.
Absolutely.
Or don't even do that. Just walk to the garbage can and throw it out before you even
look. Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yep. No doubt. Okay. Here's one from Hufflemom says, sending a card to your sick parents, you know, if that person is the narcissist, sending a card to your sick parents has the possibility of turning the parents into flying monkeys too, doesn't it?
It can.
Unless the parents are aware that person's a narcissist, it can be worth it. And I would say that it absolutely does, and I'll tell you why.
It can.
Because yeah. I would say a large percentage of my clients and many people here on YouTube and TikTok and everywhere else that I speak to and deal with have confirmed this for me. And that is that many of us who have ended up in long-term relationships with narcissists are also the adult children of narcissists.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they like to be flying monkeys. I have one friend who her mother found out her plan to leave her ex and told the ex the plan. So the ex stole their child in the middle of the night and ran away.
Oh my gosh.
While they were still, because she was planning to leave, he was still there in the house. You know what I mean? She was planning on having him anyway, but the mother of my friend did this. So got her own grandchild stolen with her flying monkey behavior, you know. Mm-hmm. Luckily, the child is now an adult. It's fine. But right.
Scary. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think unless you have a situation like what you described, Angie, with your ex-mother-in-law or ex,
mm-hmm.
Where you know
you they know.
Where you know you can trust the person, or at least they've right. proven in the past you can trust them. I mean, there's no reason to hate right. them. You know what I mean? With they've
yeah.
not been toxic to you.
Right.
Yeah. I think you got, it's, I think when I said that earlier, like send a card and that's it. Like if they're trying to hoover through saying my mom's sick,
mm-hmm.
you got to know that your relationship with mom is healthy enough to want to send the card in the first place.
Correct.
Don't just yeah. send the card, but like every relationship's going to be different, but yes, most of the time these people came from something that wasn't yeah. healthy. So their parents may not be the best people to have in your life.
Right. Right. And I do believe that if my ex's biological mother had been alive, this would have never been the case, what I experienced with his stepmother. And she's now passed away, but she was a good, but here's the thing. This is what I did when I left him. I did not tell his family. I said, you tell your own family, because I was not, because I knew, first of all, this is going to sound really messed up, but they liked me better than him. And they made that very clear to me from day one.
Yeah. They right? usually and so, do. They usually do.
Right.
They're like, you're so nice. Why'd you treat her that way? You know,
mm-hmm.
and then, yeah. you know, often, not usually, often.
Well, not usually. Yeah. Because usually, again, there's normally depends. At least one toxic parent there, but,
mm-hmm.
but either way, regardless of that, in my case, I was trying to let him have his, but then he didn't tell them. So they called me and I told them and then, right. then it was on. So. But that was like 2 or 3 months later. I was trying to literally just let all of them go.
You know what? I had to tell my ex's family too.
Isn't that interesting?
I just realized that.
How many of you who separated from a narcissist, tell us. Yeah. Tell us in the chat. If you're watching now or you're watching later, let us know. If you separated from a narcissist, yourself or otherwise, who told their family?
I realized I approached the mother because I wanted to say goodbye because I knew I was going no contact with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to be, you know, because she was always, she's fine, you know? And
right.
I just was like, I just want to say goodbye, say thank you for her kindness and whatever and mm-hmm. move on.
Right.
And she said, what? I'm so sad. I can't believe, you know, like I had to break news and I'm like, oh my gosh, that was on purpose. He made me do it.
Of course he did.
Yep. Get it up. Yep. Oh, well.
Poor him. You know. Yeah.
What about the hoovers that come as the discard is happening? Aren't those interesting? I don't know why I'm laughing. It's not funny. It's actually extremely painful. It is.
Yeah.
It's funny right. in retro. It's funny only in that it's, like I said, it's the absurdity of their behavior, but it really right. isn't funny when it's happening. It's awful. Like screaming matches. And then fine, if you never loved me, you'll walk out that door, you know, at the same time as the screaming match is going on and then silent treatment. And then an hour later getting a text saying, you know, we really should talk, you know.
It's I know. It's yeah. ridiculous. I've had that. Mm-hmm. I've had that.
And I've seen it a lot when people go no contact with moms.
Oh. And they're so good at the heartstrings and all the buttons. They installed all that stuff.
They installed the buttons.
Mm-hmm. They know the thing to say. Mine used to tell me, you're going to end up dead in a ditch. You're not going to have anybody. And I'm always like, why am I going to
why am I wearing so many ditches?
Where's the ditches?
Where's the ditches? I'm going to avoid ditches. That's my life goal.
Ditches get bitches. Okay, moving on. So I want to say this to you guys. Lisa and I do laugh a lot. It's so much fun. But we do this because we study these people so much. Mm-hmm. And we're so thoroughly aware of their psychology and the way that they think and behave. And it's kind of funny when you're not in the middle of it. But also it helps us, and I hope you, to see it from a different perspective, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes humor is the way that you don't cry about things. I'm just saying.
True.
So never think that we're minimizing it. We know the pain on a very deep personal level, both mm-hmm. of us. But we also know that sometimes you get tired of hearing people crying and talking about the pain, and let's talk about how to do better, how to feel better, how to get healthier. And sometimes that involves a little giggle. I hope that's okay with you guys. Let me know.
I hope so too. I think that the laughing mm-hmm. minimizes the power the toxic person has.
Yes.
Because I'm 100%. Laughing at their absurdity, their behavior. And it's not that it's funny behavior. It's that they are so insignificant and they are trying to wield so much power that I just see them like animated things or cartoons. You know, it's not in reality.
Yeah. I saw some TV show where they were saying, it was kind of like that concept of imagine everybody in their underwear or something, but it was some other thing where, you know, when you have stage fright, they tell you to imagine the whole audience in their underwear. And and I guess, but it was something like that for narcissists.
So. Yeah, it's to minimize the power. It's to minimize the power that it has. And that's, maybe that's been my coping skill. I don't know. Right. But
happens. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So to clarify. All right. Let's see. Sunny Day said 40 years later, somebody Hoovered her.
My goodness.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to do one more question and then we're going to probably, because I think we're right there at the edge of our time. And then we're going to wrap up. And this is from Natalie. Excuse me. Natalie says, I'm going on 8 months no contact with my narcissist mom. I feel guilty for going no contact, less than what it was, but I still feel it. How do you get rid of that feeling? Okay, let's talk about it. In my case, I got really, really lucky because I had a horrible thing that caused me to go no contact without even knowing what no contact was. But I literally felt something break inside of me at that moment. And I think that was that cord of obligation that I'd always felt. Like no matter how angry I got or how upset I got or how hurt I felt, I couldn't walk away from her until that moment. And I always thought I should, but I didn't know about the concept of no contact or narcissism or any of that at that time. And when it happened, I just, boom, I went no contact. I said, never call me again. Don't come around me. Don't come near my children. I told her off and I hung up. I don't recommend that. That was just my reaction in the moment.
It happens.
Normally I would just say, just stop. But with a mother, it's kind of,
it's okay. Hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how do you get rid of that feeling? You recognize, I want you to ask yourself, Natalie, and I want your input on this too, Lisa. Don't think you're getting out of it. I'm just kidding. Okay. But I really do want your input. So hold on though. Natalie, my first thing I would tell you is to ask yourself some questions. Number one, if you have children, would you ever treat your children the way your mother treated you? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine yourself treating anyone the way your mother treated you? And number two, I want you to remember that this person did give birth to you or raise you or whatever she did. Thank you for that, right? Whatever it's done. Probably wasn't a great childhood, I'm guessing. Mine wasn't. But then at the age of 18, she became no longer, or whatever age it is and where you live, no longer responsible for you, no longer obligated to you. And you also became no longer responsible for or obligated to her. Because technically, when we become an adult, we owe them nothing. And I know that sounds like I don't care about people. I care very much about people. But if someone has abused you your whole life, mentally, verbally, physically, or otherwise, and then you turn 18, I feel that you don't owe them anything. That's not going to help you right now. I would say focus on when you're in the moments of feeling guilty, use pattern interrupts to get past the individual moments. I would say start, maybe work with a therapist or a coach on going deeper and figuring out each level, And it's hard for me to know your whole story because I don't see very much here, but I can tell you that I deeply relate. I did have guilt. I still occasionally question myself. But then when I think about what it was to be in that relationship with my mother, and then I go back to where I'm at now and the freedom that I feel and the lightness that is around me, and whereas I don't have her sitting on my shoulders or my chest, proverbially speaking. She never actually physically did that, I'm aware of, but I feel like I can breathe in a way that I couldn't. And it's been a long time now. It's been, what, 10 years, I think, almost, that I've been no contact. Time flies. Mm-hmm. And for the past 2 years, were the first time I didn't think about her on Mother's Day, you know, mm-hmm. or her birthday or whatever. And so the only time I think about her now is during work.
Yeah, right.
Because this is what I do, you know, but I try to think of her from a logical perspective, mm-hmm. as opposed to an emotional one. And sure, there are moments where I'll still think, if I let myself go there, I can go there. I can have some problems, but it's not problems. It's triggers. I have memories that hurt me a little bit, and I have taken this, I'm gonna say this one last thing. I've taken this stance with my mother, perception, perspective with my mother and every other narcissist that I've ever known that I've been involved with in any way. And it is this: I see them for their limitations. Mm-hmm. I see them for the apparent personality disorder or whatever it is that broke them. I see that they are incapable of loving me in the way that I need to be loved. And they are also incapable of even being consistently respectful to me. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, they do not get to be in my life. Mm-hmm. It is not their fault. They are broken people. That's not their fault. I'm joking. It's their fault, but it's not. But it's kind of their fault. My mm-hmm. point is, they choose who they become. Their psychology led to what this is. This is their personal limitation. I don't want that in my life. And so that's it. I can feel a little sorry for them even, but not to the point that I feel so sorry for them, I'm going to come back and take care of them and do what they need me to do, because no, I'm not doing that anymore. So I don't know if that's helpful at all. Lise, what are your thoughts for Natalie?
When I hear this almost across the board from people I work with who go no contact with a mom, mm-hmm. different with a dad, and I don't know why, but well, there's reasons, but too long to talk about. Right. I hear this regularly, weekly, daily, sometimes from people. So mm-hmm. you're not alone in this guilty feeling mm-hmm. that you have for yourself. Here's the thing that happens, and Angie kind of described it, is when you're of a certain age, around between 17 and 20, you mm-hmm. individuate from your parents. You become your own person. And you leave them behind to be their own person. That's mm-hmm. healthy psychology. And it happens from your late teens through your early 20s. When you have a narcissistic mother, they do not allow this to happen. Not only do they not allow it, they hold you.
They really hold tight.
You in place really tight through mm-hmm. manipulation, through, and it doesn't feel good. It's not happy holding. It's not, they create the need for them to be necessary. They create
often with fear. Go on.
From fear through guilt.
Obligation.
You've been taught to feel guilty about your mother's mm-hmm. feelings. You've been taught to caretake your mother's feelings. You've been You've not been taught to individuate and have empathy for her. Mm-hmm. So a lot of what you're feeling is, while it is also empathy, is groomed behavior. It's trained behavior. Right. It's not empathy.
Good stuff, please. Keep talking.
It's obligation that is falsely planted. Real obligation is something that's like, you see a need, you make a choice as an individual person to adhere to your own moral path and whatever, and take care of that need, not for the sake of making yourself be okay, for the sake of that need being met. You know, you see something broken, you pick it up, you fix it. You're obliged to take care of your car so it can drive, that kind of thing. With a toxic parent, it's like the guilt and the shaming and the what is the word I'm stuck on, where they learned helplessness, almost like you're dependent on them for your well-being. So mm-hmm. all of that's been trained into you. That's what the guilt is, in my opinion.
Yes,
that's what the obligation is. It's not a normal, healthy obligation one has for one's parents, because you didn't have a normal, healthy relationship, no fault of your own.
Right.
Okay. And if you're not taught how to have one, you have, so what this thing that Angie described when something clicked and something like she, what did you say? It just like clicked
broke
over.
Inside me.
It broke it just, inside me.
Yep.
That was her moment of individuation.
Yes, it was. 35 years old, but
it's
yes.
It's okay. You did it and you don't know why it happened. And that's the thing. We don't know.
Oh, I know exactly why, but yes,
okay,
go on.
There you go. Okay, yeah, right. But I mean, you don't know why that moment was the moment that, do you?
I do, but you it's do. Only because because it was the moment I realized, fully realized that my mother tried to have my children taken from me.
Right, there you
it
go.
Was it pretty
was a
deep.
Big enough shock. So it was a big
pretty
enough
shocking.
Shock to see.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And we don't want to wait for those. So here's the thing. You don't want to have to wait for the big enough shock.
No, my God, you don't. No, you don't.
Look up, you know, how kids individuate and start reparenting yourself on it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Reparenting is huge. Yes.
Letting go of this guilt will help you with this. And
yes.
How to let go of it's going to be your own path. And I don't know you, so I don't even know where to go with that. But
we do offer coaching and we have groups and individual.
Yeah. And it's, I see it a lot though. I see it almost, like I said, across the board with moms. I have heard recordings of mothers screaming, like to the point where I'm shaking from 30 seconds, less than 30 seconds, 5 seconds, 5 seconds. And the person's going, oh no, wait for it. It hasn't happened yet. Yeah. And I'm already, and I don't get triggered super easy by other people's, you know, I just listen and I'm like, okay, super triggering, super bad. And the person's still feeling guilty. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm feeling flight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not feeling fawn, no, you know,
right.
So, because it's not my mom. Right. But I get it. And then there is the society guilt of we're obliged to care for our parents. So we got to sometimes realize that wasn't a parent. That was a caregiver, not even a caregiver,
an egg donor,
an upraiser. That's all they did, yeah. Is they raised a son.
Incubator.
Incubator and upraiser. Yeah. They're not even a caregiver, right? So,
right. I want to add this other piece because Helpful Mom just reminded me, this is a piece of advice I give all the time, actually. She said, probably the best advice about this I've heard is make a list of every reason you went no contact. Then anytime you feel tempted to break no contact, read it over. And I suggest you do this as soon as possible. So you want to do it, even if you haven't left yet, write down all the reasons you want to leave and save it. Even if you do it in your phone, I like to do it in handwriting because I feel like it somehow helps it get out of yourself better and then put it somewhere. You know, even if you just destroy it, but you take a picture of it and you save it on the cloud somewhere, you know, hold on to it because that, I have found that to be very helpful in not breaking no contact, but it does not, and it can be helpful with the guilt too.
Can.
But at least you really gave some great information.
That one, a quick one, I have had a few people, I've suggested, not to everyone, because this doesn't apply in all situations, but if you're in a situation where you feel guilty like that, if you're super trauma bonded and like, oh my gosh, I need them back, don't do this because this isn't the time for it. Mm-hmm. You write down the things that you think are good about it. And then why that's a total lie.
Oh yeah.
You know, they, and you know what, when, as soon as I say that to people, they'll go, and they don't even, it's like, it becomes funny to them because like that, there was no good. Oh my gosh. You know? Mm-hmm. So.
Well, and this is the hard part is sometimes there is some good, and this is especially in long marriages or whatever. Yeah. And so what I will do with people is I will have them, let's talk about the good things first. What did you like about this person? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes people just need to talk about that. And a lot of times when you go through a discard or even if you leave them, maybe this isn't true for everyone, but in my life, when I left my ex, that woman I was just talking about that raised me, she was one of those people and one of the loudest who did it, who was like, these are the choices you have made. Stop talking about that. Sometimes you need to talk about it and get it off your chest.
Mm-hmm.
So I will let people, if people need to talk about it, let's talk about it. Well, you know, I think people like to tell the story of the relationship and they like to go through it. Oh, I didn't even think of this. And oh, I can't believe I didn't see this then. What was the, you know, in hindsight, what was the first sign that you saw? Now this doesn't necessarily apply to a mother or a father, but it could certainly apply
to a partner. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Oh, hey, Del. Okay, everybody. We are just about to wrap up because I know Lisa has other appointments and so do I today, but please, really great discussion today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate you.
Good to be here.
And so for those of you who weren't here at the beginning, let me just tell you, Lise has a channel right here on YouTube, Lise Colucci Narcissistic Abuse Recovery Support. Lise is my partner at queenbeing.com, one of my fellow coaches. She is available for one-on-one coaching as well as, how many groups do you have going right now?
Well, I have, it's one group with three times really right now. I am considering starting a men's group. So there's
that. Well, the current group also takes both men and women.
And it's men and women. Yeah, right now. Yeah. Okay. And then I'm considering a time for separating it for people that are, need it. So,
okay. So if you want to get group coaching or one-on-one with Lise, queenbeing.com/Lise, L-I-S-E. I'm also available as usual. You can find me on the queenbeing.com as well. And then what else do we have here? Oh, Lise, well, Huffle Mom's probably going to put all of this in the chat for those who are here right now. But just really quickly, if you are interested in if you are interested in joining us on these live streams, you should subscribe to this channel and to Lise's channel and hit the bell notification. You should also send, if you want like a backup way to be notified, because sometimes YouTube notifications are wonky, send Angie Live, all one word, or Lise Live, and or Lise Live, all one word, L-I-S-E-L-I-V-E, to 33222. And we will text you about 5 minutes before we go live, whether we're together or separate. Starting the middle of August, Dana should be back, and Lise and I will move this stream to Fridays, and Dana and I will be here again on Tuesdays. All right, everybody. Lise, again, thank you so much. I really appreciate you, and you are awesome. I'm really impressed with some of the things you said today. So excited. Like makes me feel, you know. So thank you. And everybody who's here, thank you. Thank you to our amazing mod squad. I think I saw Huffle Mom, Jack, and Bonnie today. Hugs and love to you guys. I know Jack is sharing a link to Lise's most recent stream about hoovering. I think it was a quick stream.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so go check that out. I have videos on the topic as well, and we love you all. We'll see you next time. Thanks, Lise.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
See you soon. Yeah, all right. Bye-bye. Bye. I'm getting there. I'm trying to find the end.
We're getting
there. Here we go.
It's ending.
Okay.